हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव शरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī establishes the authenticity of the Pañcharatra Agama. The forms of Sankarsana and others which are mentioned in Pañcharatra as Jīva, Manas, and Ahankar are not Jīvas. They are the presiding deities of the Jīva, Manas, and Ahankar, since all scriptures say they are equal to Vasudeva. Though equal, they manifest like lamps which are lit from an original lamp, Vasudeva. They manifest in order to present in these specific places, or to be present in these specific places. Is Vasudeva superior to them? That can be said, but to resolve the issue, it may be said that there is a oneness of the Amsha and the Amshi, Vasudeva. Right, so is they're the same. So are they exactly the same, or is there a superiority of Vasudeva? So you can say there's a superiority, but at the same time is the equalness of. So, yeah.
If we don't know the intent of the scripture, it's very easy to make mistake.
Yes, that's
to speculate.
That's why we have to hear from authority. Mm-hmm. For Krishna, it's just like we can't know Krishna except through the devotees. I mean, if you look at it technically, Krishna is unlimited.
Yes.
The facets that are there, the rasas that are there, everything that's there is unlimited, right? Because he is everything. So that means any particular jiva or aspect of his energy interacting with him, there'll be that particular portion.
Yes.
And so they can't know the rest.
Yes.
That's why only... So, therefore, if we're going to know Krishna outside of our... Even within our area, just that it's revealed that it's connected to Krishna, Krishna interacts with the living entities as... You know, in rasa,
yes.
Right? Because otherwise, as Atmarama, he doesn't.
Yes.
Because they're all, you know, him. So
yes.
they're that's all contained.
Yes.
So then, when he expands his energies, so us knowing Krishna has to be through those expanded energies, because we are an expanded energy.
Yes.
So it has to be through an energy that is higher than us.
Yes.
Right. So, Krishna being unlimited, we can't know that. So, then who can know? Right? There's only one person. That's his Sarup Shakti.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that means Krishna, who is, Vraja Krishna, who's the complete of all aspects. And then Vraja Radharani, who's the complete Shakti.
Yes.
Only she can know.
Yes.
So technically, she is the devotee.
Yes.
Technically, there's only one devotee.
Yes.
And everybody else is assisting. Right? So then, and then her, you know, immediate assistance. And then like that down the line, then we can get to know. Otherwise, we don't have the capacity to understand these things or know these things.
Yes.
One is we're dealing with the material. Right? Mm-hmm. So then, the spiritual's beyond this, so therefore we're not going to catch it.
Yes.
But you also have the aspect that even we were in the spiritual world, we didn't catch it.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So even we had spiritual form and senses and that, that's still not enough because those are still secondary, that aspect.
Yes.
Though it's non-different, but it's secondary because it's Krishna, the person, that's the important element. So that we didn't know.
Yes.
And so we're here. So let alone with inferior instruments that we're working with,
yes.
In an inferior context.
Yes.
right? Yes. So that's why you see the scriptures always puts the association of devotees as the most important, because that is the only place you can actually find out about Krishna. Yes. Right? Yes. And then, yeah. Yes. And the aspect of the finding out from devotees means parampara.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because it has to come down that line. Because yes. That's just, even just mechanically, that's just how it's situated.
Yes, yes.
Right? Right, so in other words, this Icha Shakti or the Haladini, mm-hmm. you know, that position is there, and that's then appreciated through the Samvit, mm-hmm. right, or the Kriya. Mm-hmm. But then that comes down as how do we know that? That's through the Jnana, or this the Sundini, mm-hmm. right? So Sundini is who reveals.
Mm-hmm.
She reveals the actual knowledge and understanding or realization of the Samvit and Haladini.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Samvit and Haladini, when they're mixed, Samvit means activities, Haladini means pleasure. So when you take an activity that's pleasurable to Krishna, because Haladini means for Krishna's pleasure, mm-hmm. then that is bhakti.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So that's bhakti. The locals are asking about, there's a class or something.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? Nothing's going on. But I see something. No, you don't. Go shut this over there. Okay. Is that, so that's just the situation. So it's not that, oh, that's our opinion. Or that's just the, you know, you do the math. That's what you come up with. So that's what Tattva does. Tattva just explains that. But it can't give you taste. Taste comes from rasa. You know? So it's through the knowledge, because we have material taste. Right? You know, and enough material knowledge to somehow or another nourish that taste. But if we want to get beyond that to spiritual taste, then we have to see things according to the internal potency.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes?
We say that tattva as such doesn't give taste, but we see so many devotees, they do get taste from studying the scriptures.
Well, I mean, it means there's going to be a taste in everything. It means anything, because Krishna is rasa, so anything connected with him is going to give a taste. So even his sundini potency, they're going to give taste. So here in the material world, then through the modes of nature, our activities, we get a taste. But it's inferior. You know, it's just like the children in the backyard, picking up some dirt, sticking it in their mouth. Do they get a taste?
Yes.
Yes, but how does that compare to something, properly arranged?
Some can say that the most important is the experience.
Yes, but so what experience you want? It's just like, okay, we can go on a holiday. And in going on a holiday, we could stay at that little cockroach motel. Right? Like that. We know the cliches of how bad they get if they really want to paint them in a bad light. Right? Or you could be staying at the, Burj Al Arab in Dubai, which is 7-star. Whichever you like. They're both experiences. Chasing the cockroaches off your face when you're trying to sleep, and, the neighbors next door because you only have that, 1 centimeter thick plasterboard wall, and they're yelling and screaming at each other. And on the other side, then they're watching some weirdo movie and all that, like that. Plus out in the parking lot, then they're, people are revving their engines and yelling and screaming and this and that. So it does give an experience. So the point is, you can say, yes, the experience is the most important, but the point is, what's the quality of experience? So that's what's being said, is that the jiva by nature can be tasting the superior experience. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have the, immense, the billionaire's son, in that cockroach hotel because he doesn't know who he is. Right? And then someone says, no, but your father, in fact, he owns the Burj Al Arab, right? So you can stay there, Are the rooms, you know, there? Yeah. Is there some space like that? Does it have a bathroom? Yeah, the bathroom's as big as this place here you call the whole room. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is it's a different experience, right? You have that thin, what do you call it, super thin door, you know, if you hit it too hard, your hand would go through it. And you open that, you open it in, and there's this kind of funky rug, and there's that, you know, funny bed there, and that, and not much, a couple of old pictures on the wall that are kind of hanging funny, and that's it, right? The other one, you walk in. When you walk in, that first area that you walk into is like your office. You know, your whole desk and this and your computers and whatever it is. Everything's there that you want to use, like that. Then you go into the sitting place that if you have some guests in that, then they can come sit there on these couches and all that. And it has next to that, you know, the little kind of like mini kind of bar and stuff like that to host them like that. And there's, you know, and then around back you have the big kitchen. Then you have inside where is the family room, where it's all the same kind of things, very big loungy, like that, huge windows that all open out onto the ocean. And, you know, this, obscenely large television screen is there, right? Does that make sense? And each one of these areas is big as that cockroach hotel room, right? That's just there. Then you go up the stairs, right? And then up the stairs, now you have, oh yes, and there's a bathroom downstairs, a nice bathroom and a huge kitchen and a little dining table and stuff like that. Oh no, a big dining area, big huge dining area. You know, for like formal dinners and all that. Then you go up the stairs. Right? Are we good? Or should we get the idea, right? Then you go up the stairs and there's this huge, you know, master bedroom. You know, it has all the same facilities. And monster, it means how big the kitchen was downstairs. Huge kitchen. And dining room, that's the bathroom for the master bedroom. It has its own jacuzzi. It has its, you know, you name it, it's in there. Right? Like that. And then you have the other bedrooms and their attached bathrooms and everything like that. So, you know, the father and mother there and that, and then the kids got their own bedrooms and all that. Does that make sense? That's one flat, and that's the cheap ones that are probably around 4,000 or 5,000 a night. Then you have the big ones. Okay, so. Is there an experience in just the one you open it? There is an experience, like, oh my God. But this one is like each thing is like each is its own.
Yeah. It's like a museum.
Huh? Yeah.
A museum.
Yeah. So, but the point is this is within the context of what we can relate to. We're talking about the experiences like an unlimited ocean. Right? And this is like, this is a drop compared to the ocean of the happiness of liberation. In other words, having nothing to do with the material world. Mm-hmm. In other words, we think that there's so much happiness in the material world, but actually you get more happiness by having absolutely nothing to do with it. And that platform's called liberation. That's considered like an ocean compared to the drop, which is Brahma's happiness. And his happiness is, I don't know, how many levels? A lot. It means you have, like Yudhishthira Maharaj's position as unrivaled emperor, we're taking that as one unit of happiness. Right? So you can imagine where we fit in. So that's one. Then you go up to the Gandharvas. That's 100 times. And that's the regular Gandharvas. Right, you know, Indra's Gandharvas. Then above that's the Brahma Gandharvas. They sing in his place. Then above that are the residents of the heaven planets, 100 times more than that, right? So we had, what is it? It was 0, then 100, then 100 times, then 10,000, right? Then 100,000. No?
1 million.
1 million. And that. Then above that, 100 million, that's the guys that... you know, have positions like that. No, it means all that, you know, the demigods that actually run the universe, And that's 100 million. Then above that, 100 times would be 10 billion. 10 billion times, that's what you get if you're Indra. So now you see why they fight so hard for that? Yeah. So 100 yagyas, that's it? Okay, what are we up to? 10 billion. Okay, then above him is Brihaspati. So that's 10, that makes it now 100, that makes it a trillion. Okay, then a trillion. Then above him is the Prajapatis. Right? So then that means we got 10? 100 trillion. Then you have above that is Brahma, which is 10 quadrillion. Right? Times what Yudhishthira is getting managing the world. So compared to us, you know, you just might as well put one of those like sleepy eights after, you know, like that. Wow, they didn't burn the doll today. You know, that's happiness. You know. Okay. Is that? So, now that's considered a drop, that 10 quadrillion, compared to the ocean of happiness of just not even bothering with the material world. Right? You know, when it says being detached and just doing things without things like that. That happiness you can get doing that here will be greater than what Brahma gets. Uh-huh. Right? So even Brahma can't get that. Right? Then that is considered a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti. Right? So now if we're going to talk, it's experience that matters. Which one of these do you want? Does that make sense? How do you? So that's what's being offered. And the reason we don't necessarily take is because we're okay with the, you know, this cockroach hotel is better. There is,
yeah, because it's too far out. Those things. The quadrillion.
But that's the nature of the soul. Because the soul is conscious, fully conscious. Well, the matter that we're trying to work with is completely unconscious.
Just my point is that we can get some experience from learning the Tattva.
Yes, you can. Because it's about Krishna. That's why it has taste. That's the whole point. It has because it is connected to Krishna. But what we're saying is that then when one applies that in a relationship with Krishna, then that taste that is there in studying the tattva, which is so nice, because it's kind of, then increases greatly. So I said greatly, not unlimitedly. Yes, so, not. So,
yes.
Yeah.
To my, the best thing is to work together with Tattva and Rasa.
The two have to go together. The point is this, when you know Krishna, you know everything. So it's not a matter of, we take it that knowledge is based on volume of facts and let's say logic, ability, rhetoric, these kind of things. Then we'll say someone now really will know the philosophy. But technically it has nothing to do with that. Because if you have realization, then with whatever skill you have, in vocabulary and in speaking or anything, you can express it. Yes. Right? Yes. I mean, see, even the simplest person who doesn't know anything, is seemingly uneducated, they can express their feelings. So the point is if you know Krishna, then that's realization. So they can express that. While anyone else who's not a devotee, then what, even no matter how technical it is, it's wrong. And they can see that because it's not connected to Krishna. So that's why the Uttama can defeat any argument. There's no question of defeating them in an argument because anyone else is discussing, you know, what is false. It may be technically nicely done and organized, but it's still false. Well, they know the absolute truth. So it's not a matter of, oh, they're great scholars. It's that you know Krishna, that's what makes you a scholar. Right? We take it that the secondary aspects is what makes you a scholar.
yes.
Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, one of the aspects, you know, just pleasant, pleasant identifiers of Einstein as a great scholar is his forgetting to take off his house slippers and put on his shoes when he would go to the office. So he'd show up at the office in his house slippers. You know, or that he has five suits that are exactly the same, cut, color, everything. And they're all, you know, just black. So that if something happens, he can just, you know, if something happens to the pants, he puts on the other pants. Just, so he looks exactly the same. But is that actually what makes him a scholar? No, it's the knowledge. But the point is that if you have facts but no realization, is that real knowledge? Right? So gyan is accepted as the gold standard for being scholarly. But the Vedic, it's realization. So therefore, Jarda Bharat, who's uneducated, right, as such, then he's speaking to the king, and he's recognized as the greatest scholar. You know? So that's the whole point. Or Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj didn't even read. He'd have the book, but he'd ask others to read it for him. So he didn't even bother, not that he couldn't do, but it's just he's so absorbed in Krishna. Right? So the whole point is the secondary as the measurement is not the actual measure. Right? It's the primary of the connection to Krishna. Now, in someone who is working in the secondary, right, their focus is the secondary, but they're trying to serve Krishna. Then you can say, then we look at the effort within the secondary. So he's doing something really big and this and that. So someone's the temple president and someone else is, you know, washing the pots. So then you'll take the temple president as a senior person. And there's a responsibility how much they're involved in that secondary. But ultimately, that's not the point. So if they're both on the same level, then you'll say he's taking more responsibility. But if you're on the spiritual, it may be just he has that conditioning, so he's good at managing, so he'll do a good job as the president if he applies himself. And the other person is washing pots, they don't have that managerial ability. But if that pot washer knows Krishna, then he's the advanced person. So you may see that, you know, if he's not too embarrassed on that, he'll give the classes. Right? Does that make sense? But at the same time, as for managerial hierarchy to make things work, the pot washer listens to the temple president on whether he washes the pots or whether he does something else. But, so we have to be able to distinguish between them. Is that the secondary is important, and the secondary has hierarchies just for that's mechanically how they work. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the secondary is more important than the primary, or the secondary then takes precedent. You know, like somebody says, no, but without knowledge, how can you do things for Krishna? No, it's devotion that does things for Krishna. Therefore, patram pushpam phalayam. It just takes that's all it requires. Now, if you know the technical, all the mantra, tantra, and puranati, great, because that's how the temple worship works. But you can't say that because I have that knowledge, therefore I'm more advanced. Like that. No, you have that capacity to learn that knowledge. Because you can learn the puja, but someone else knows how to do business. Like that. So it's not the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of the nature. So whatever your nature is, that's what you do. That's given to you by Krishna. Does that make sense? So whatever it is, that's what you use. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so what would be the difference between conviction and realization? Because we are basically convinced, but in terms of realizing...
Well, convinced, you would say that's fixed. Or vyavasayatnika buddhi. Right? So that, because when you're fixed, then you'll be regular. And if you're regular, that's where realization comes. Because you hear, and in there may be doubts, so the hearing process may go for some time until doubts are cleared. When doubts are cleared, then you can focus on whatever the subject at hand, and be convinced about that knowledge and practice, then applying that, that's then where you're going to, by doing that regularly, that's where Krishna will see you're serious, and then you'll get realization. So generally, when you're fixed or have that focus or conviction, like you say, we generally take that as knowledge. Because otherwise, why would you be convinced unless there was some knowledge? Right?
Yeah.
So that's considered the intermediate stage. Right? And then there's realization as the file. So you first hear, then you come to that intermediate where you have that conviction, you apply and all that, you're regular in that. That will bring you to realization. So it's important. That conviction must be there. Like that. And if that conviction is there, then whatever the area, there will be taste. Because you're connected to Krishna. So if it's the activity you're doing for Krishna, or like this, the knowledge that you're having, connected to Krishna. Because both, the karma yoga, the jnana, they're going to give a taste because it's devotion. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, the tattva will give a taste. Right? Because it's connected to Krishna. But we have to be convinced that the taste is because of Krishna, not because of just the technical knowledge. We may be interested in technical knowledge because of our background. And we're getting a taste, but we have to know that taste is Krishna, not the technicality. It's just the medium that we can function in, and Krishna will reciprocate. So through those technical, that's where you'll get your realization. Someone else will be like managing, someone else by sankirtan, someone else by pot washing. They'll get their realization through that. So it's whatever your nature, you engage that. And then we say those one at a time, but people are, as individuals, they have combination of these things. Yeah, so it's just, the point is any one of them, just like any one of the nine processes, can bring you to perfection. So any one of the aspects of our conditioning that we're engaging in Krishna's service, that can bring us to that point. It means that will be the medium through which Krishna will reveal himself. So there's no problem. But conviction, that means now it's serious. Like that. Because before that, it's not considered as serious. But it's good. Any connection is good. But once one becomes fixed, that's when you can say, now it will become dynamic. But before, it will be progressive. But now it will become so much more. So, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, is technically Radharani is the only devotee?
Yes.
But we hear that Krishna calls the devotees devotees. So he...
Because they're the devotees of the devotee.
So he grants this position.
Just like when he says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, then they're a devotee. So because they're identifying themselves as the devotee of the devotees, that's why they're called devotees. Right? So just because otherwise then it gets, I have great affection for the devotee of my devotee of my devotee of my devotee. The camera pans out, we come back a few hours later, of my devotee of my devotee. And so therefore, but what about him? Oh yes, the devotee of my, like this. So we just say devotee. But we understand is it's all, the position, the meaning of devotee means devotee of the devotee. So that's practiced through the spiritual master, through the other devotees like that, but it goes up the parampara. Because when you're not dealing with, is in the material world, what's the difference between, the first position and then let's say wherever we are? Lord Chaitanya says, devotee, the servant of the servant 1,000 times removed. So 1,000 times back. What will we consider is the weakness of that being 1,000 times away?
Lack of prestige.
Lack of prestige? Okay, but what's the difference between the two? 1 and 1,000? Means on the material calculation.
Big and small.
Ability.
Ability? Okay. And then, but is there a thing of space between them? Okay. And is there time that it takes things to get back down, filter down, it's just like, remember it said that what hits the runway in Paris, then after 2 years we'll actually, means that's not now in the modern, but it mean before, whereas it could take 2 years to hit New York, and whatever hit in New York, it would take 2 years to get to the West Coast. So whatever was fashionable in Paris, it was 4 years before, you know, we'd bump into it. Like that. And that means California. We were up north of that, so probably give it a little bit more time. Yeah. Does that make sense? So for us, it's time and space. Now, if you're working in a realm where there's no time and no space, is there any disadvantage?
No.
No. That's the important thing. So then those considerations, because prestige is best based on, you know, you don't have that good view. But if there's no space, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, how you say? You're sitting, how you say? I don't know how to say it. Cirque Soleil?
Cirque Soleil.
Huh? Cirque. That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay, Cirque Soleil is doing a performance, right?
Yes.
In the front you have couches.
Yes.
Like that. Then you have that, and in the very back, if you use binoculars, then you can see them.
Yes.
But there's no space. So the person in the back can see just as well as the person in front. And plus you have, if you can see as well, plus you can see everybody else being happy in front of you.
Yes.
So actually, there's advantage to being at the back.
Yes. Can I make some comments?
Yes, yes. I don't know if they have microphones in the spiritual world. Yeah, so sorry. Here we have Radha and Krishna's entering into the kunja here, and like that. It's a very well decorated kunja and all that. There's many mandaris here. They're all running around making so many efforts and all that, and we, you know, have to give a shout out for them, you know, for all that work and all that that they're doing, and they do it every day, you know, like this. But, you know, like that.
Huh?
Or everybody's in line, they're all making comments and, you know, on their phones. And,
Believe that, you know, you go live, so they're not making comments, but they're filming the whole thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, but sometimes you also see those comments going on. Like someone brought up something, I think it was, maybe it was Indudun Maharaj's Parikram or something in Vrindavan. They're going to some place, and it has the thing, and right on the side, comments are just coming up, just like that, you know, moving that quickly.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. That's only your
fusion. Yeah, just like that, just going on. It's just like, wow. It's like, what's the point?
You know? They're live chats.
Huh?
They're called as live chats.
Live chats. It's like... What about the thing that you're watching? You know, so, you know, you have that thing taking up half the screen.
When different people have different natures and they have speciality because the natures are different, but still, however, you know, there is a comparison that has been done in the modern world, you know, that this person is compared with the other and then the other person feels very lowly. But that shouldn't be the case in reality, because the natures are completely different, so how can there be a comparison in the first place?
The comparison is only for varna, for management.
Yes.
It's called social. But on the spiritual, there isn't any. But the problem is that we see in the Kali Yuga, we want to take the social and make that the authority between the two. Right? I think even there's some quote somewhere, I've heard it, where Prabhupada says varna first, like that. That doesn't mean it's more important, because, you know, social is never more important than the spiritual. It's just if you don't really understand your varna, you can't really understand where to situate yourself in ashram, like that. So it's just that consideration, but not that it's developed first, because Prabhupada didn't do that. He developed ashram first. Right, Nirvana was, you know, basically Paramahamsa. As we see from what was discussed, what we were given was the Paramahamsa lifestyle. We didn't have the realization, but we were given the lifestyle. So that's the Brahmana. You know, but then from Brahmanas, then you have the Vaishnavas. So we were giving that platform. And so that's what was given. And then to say that the Varna is most important, that's just because if you didn't have, how you say? It's a cliche, putting it into a... Yes, I think the thing was, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Right? Okay. So if it wasn't for Varna, I'd have no status at all. So basically like that. So therefore they lean on Varna, on the status. Like that. So depending on where you come from, you don't have to worry about that. So each one's worse than the other. Yes?
Yeah, I'm thinking that for career-oriented society, ashram doesn't really matter because they don't live in an ashram. They live in an office.
Yeah, yeah. They don't live at home. They don't have relationships. They don't have anything.
So that gives them security.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because it's just work. Because for whatever is said and done, being professional at your job takes a lot of focus, takes a lot of, you know, intelligence and determination, all these different things. But they in no way compare to what it takes to be able to function at home. No comparison. Absolutely not. Because they can say this and that, but can they do it? If they're doing both, that's because of proper training. But I think it's a very common... I think it's a point. I'm not even sure. It's not a... somewhere in the Niti or something. Or Chanakya. But the amount of effort it takes to run a empire means a whole kingdom. It takes the same amount of effort, focus, and everything to be able to function in the home between husband and wife. Like that. So there's no less. So, you know, if all they are is a professional in the ocean of professionals in Bombay, that doesn't count. Are they the professional that everyone in the corporate industry considers is the topmost? Right? No. So their name's Warren Buffett or one of these guys. Said, okay, now we'll consider. But that means now they know what it takes to do work at home. Right? And that's the funny thing, is Mr. Buffett, when he leaves the office, he turns off his phone. He won't turn it on until he gets to the office the next day. Then he goes home. He's home, regular home, you know, just on the same block as everyone else, just a better house on there. And that, you know, regular thing, the lawn out front and all that kind of jazz, you know, no walls and guard dogs and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, just there and spends time with his family. Because he knows the difference. He knows the importance. Right? And he's a billionaire, so...
He's old.
Hmm?
He's old, that's why he knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? So this other stuff, it's... We create that. Like I noticed when I was in London, the Indian women there, especially the little bit older ones, you know, they already have, you know, they're basically on grandma level. But even if they're not, even if on the mom level, they create their own status on what is status amongst themselves. They'll base it on the modern stuff, whatever's around them going on in London, but it actually has nothing to do with what's going on in London. They said they've decided. Like, they all decide that long hair is Indian, so short hair, you know, you kind of have the cut, kind of, you go to the you know, beautician, get it kind of cut short and all. They'll all have short hair because that's the modern thing. But you walk down the street in London and that haircut will be very rare you'll ever see it. But somehow or another, no, that's, we have to use that, otherwise we're Indian. Like that. So they create it. So then, you know, like we said, we had one, you know, businessman. He's how you say it? Marwari. So it's traditional. His great-grandfather was given the title by the, you know, then the government, you know, before when it was, you know, the Mughal kind of thing of, what is it, Bahadur or these guys, you know, the big, because he, like, all the jute industry in Bangladesh and all that, basically he ran all that. And so they had ridiculous amounts of money. right? Mm-hmm. So it's not bad. His grandfather then, you know, somehow or another was a little crazy because of that. He gold-leafed his ambassador. Right? You know, we're saying now, the sheikhs do this stuff. No, he was doing this back, you know, whatever it is, 60, 80 years ago, whatever it is. Right? So not bad, okay? Just buy them on, okay? So he goes to Bombay, gets himself a big flat and a little dinky car, because to get around in Bombay is ridiculous. Right? And that, and then big comfortable flat for him and his family. That then he bumps into other devotees who are professionals, kind of same kind of thing. And they say, what are you doing? You say, you have to get yourself a big, huge, monster car. You know, it's got to be a Mercedes or BMW or something like that. You know, big, you know, the what do you call it, E-class, is that? Yeah, one of those things. Like that, you know, impossible to get around, impossible to find a parking space, and you're always in anxiety if someone scratches it or, you know, breathes on it or something, you know? Does that make sense? Yeah. And so he says, but that costs so much, then you wouldn't, you know, how do you take care of the place to stay? He says, no one will ever see that. You get some little dinky hole in the wall, that's all you need, because you're in your office all day. He moved back to Calcutta. So they create their own status, their own idea of what's good. And you go to Delhi, it'll be different. You go to Madras, it'll be different. Chennai. You go to Bangalore, it'll be different again. Right? So that's the whole. Remember going into, I think it was Punjabis and Sindhis houses. Back in the 70s, you do a program. You know how every Hindu has that cabinet that's got all the chachkas from all the holy places and this and that. And wherever they go, they got it. It's all there. And if they've been to the West, they got a few of those in there also. Like that. You know, everyone's got one, right? You've all seen?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, you guys haven't seen?
No, it's on the fridge with the magnets.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's our point. Right? So... Well, they'll have that magnet, not on the fridge. They'll have it just sitting on the shelf there.
The equivalent.
Yes, the equivalent. It's the same. So then, but when you go to Sindhi's houses or Punjabi houses, they have a shelf of empty hard liquor bottles. You know, not beer in this. It has to be whiskey and scotch and cognac and all this kind of jazz. You know, like that, because the bottles are always far out shapes. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda mentions about that, you know, the about the shapes and somebody getting all starry eyed when he sees the shapes of the bottles. They have all, and they're empty. And they're just sitting on the shelf. It's like a prestige. Yeah, we drink all this. You know? Yeah, we can buy that stuff. You know,
that's Russians do the same.
Huh? Russians do the same. Yeah.
But they also keep the carton. You know,
oh, the carton? Awesome. Okay. Even better, just to keep it nice like that. Yeah.
But they put it in, not in the empty open shelf, but in the...
In the closed shelf.
Yeah, but in the same ones that you said, in the closet.
Okay, yeah.
Specific
sure.
One.
Yeah.
And
at some point when it gets too full, they get rid of bottles, or you just get a second Elmira?
You just go in the living room and, you know, kitchen or where.
Okay, just keep going.
Yeah.
Even that
part. It's like medals, you know.
Now let's say someone, you know, some old guy's passed away and he has like, you know, 100 bottles there. Now, can some younger guys somehow or another get that, or is that put in like the will that, you know, yeah, this grandchild gets all my bottles? Or, yeah, okay, and then he has that prestige. Okay.
They keep the beer can.
The beer can.
And they beat it up like customers.
That's why they never won the war.
That's why they didn't win the war. too much beer. So if that's what they do in Hungary, what do they do in Czech? That's where the beer is from. Well, that's
Danish.
Carlsberg, Tuborg. Even in Nepal, it's very popular. India also, I see.
Yeah, so in other words, the point that we were started at way, way back there was that everybody creates their own status symbols. It's not, so what's given in the Veda, you could say that's an actual status symbol. Right? You know, quality of the birth, quality of the education, beauty, you know, the physical health, legal standings, like that. These are actual positions to tell if you have good karma or not. Does that make sense? So it's, these others, yes, you've worked for it and all that, so then you have that guna and karma is there, but it wasn't as natural as someone who is... that's just the way they are. And when they grow up, they can actually function in that. Right? Otherwise, then they're a socialite bandhu. Yeah. Right? Yes? So... yes, this stuff goes on. So that's why we're not worried about it so much. Doesn't mean that someone who's intelligent can't do amazing service, because they'll put together and arrange things that will benefit so many other people. But you have to make sure that they're getting benefit themselves. Does that make sense? Like I said, in New York, then the 22nd Avenue, there were 6 brahmacharis. Right? And that's what it is. But then they had so many people who would come, you know, because the area is close to downtown. Then so many professionals would come and that. You know, professional means, you know, bank managers, doctors, lawyers, that kind of thing. So then, you know, and that means bank manager in New York, in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Right? Not bad. Mm-hmm. Right? So then they sit together. And, you know, without all this, you know, who's the bigger guy there, they just work it out. Come up with ideas of someone this, and if some ideas, you know, they'll all take that, and if not, they'll say, well, what about this, and then they'll discuss it. And then they'll put on amazing programs with so many people benefit. So, because the consciousness is good, then they're getting that benefit for the service and the benefit for having benefited everyone else. But now if the attitude, they're proud, then... there be some effect from having done all that, but at the same time you kind of ruin the whole thing because they think that they're special. Mm-hmm. So you want to avoid that. Because you can say, no, but they'll still get so much benefit, but it's all about benefits, it's all about, that's why we're doing devotional service, or is it about pleasing Krishna? Mm-hmm. Right? So Krishna's not pleased if you're proud. He's God, he's not proud. So anything we can do is just a portion of his potency, and if we're proud of that, then how do you have a relationship? A person who's humble and a person who's proud, it generally doesn't jive that well. Okay. It is said, Tejas Chasrup Vitanoit Vai So Chuto Chuta Astrita Vasudevam Sa Vasto Megho Jalam Yata. As a cloud in the sky spreads water, a Chuta, taking shelter of Vasudeva, spreads his form, endowed with infallible power. Narada Pancharatra. Right? So Krishna is taking that. Through Vasudeva, then he expands all his unlimited potencies. Does that make sense? If you're going to create all the whole Vaikuntha, Krishna does that through Vasudeva. Right? It means he sits in Vrindavan playing his flute, and Vasudeva does all that.
The one who sits in the...
Well, who else would it be? Depends how far up you want to take it. Some will take the Mahanarayan, like this, you know. They are counted as 4 in consideration of the main role, their main role. But there are unlimited expansions. Thus the descriptions in Pancharatra are correct. So the point is made that to do these different functions, Krishna then expands. Not that each one couldn't do everything. It's just that if you have a specific work, somebody does that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, some cooks are going to cook the Sunday feast. Right? So each cook could cook any preparation. But if they're all cooking the rice, how is that going to work? And no one's cooking anything. So somebody does rice, someone does the sabji, someone does this, someone does that. Not that they can't do the others, it's just that they're manifesting in that way. So Sankarshan can do all the aspects, but for the purpose of you know, how you say, the pastimes of creation and all those, then he takes that aspect of Sankarshan. Right? So he deals with the knowledge, he deals with the skill, those kind of aspects, the relationship. Prajumna deals then with those other aspects, the aspects of the opulences and that mentality and all that. You know? And Aniruddha then deals with the goal, the mood, the mind and all these kind of aspects. Does that make sense? So they just take these. Vasudev has all those, because they all have, but the point is if you're going to work together, then Krishna has all these things, then Balaram, then Prajumna and Aniruddha. Then you have pastimes.
Even the Pancharatra Agama mentions that, like, Vasudev has all the six, and Sankarsana is prominently taking Jnana and Bala. This is his prominent feature. He has the other four also. But then he's not going to manifest, because then others are going to manifest that.
Yes, yeah. So each one just manifests that particular thing. Yes. Yes.
For Westerners, this concept actually is very difficult to grasp. Because in our mind, one God does everything. But then, as you explained...
Yeah, it is one God does everything.
Yes, but
this is how he does everything.
He actually does, you know, himself is only one deity, we can say. And then he does everything, you know, all the jobs. But here we see he expands, and it's really confusing. So that's why people think, or many think, it's we worship many gods. And
no, but there's only one. It's just like, okay, you have everyone in this crowd, they all have their smartphone.
Yeah,
and there's some latest news on, you know, whatever it is. Trump just said something, you know, interesting. They're all watching it.
Yeah.
So are they? There's 100 people there. Are they watching 100 different Trumps?
No, same.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that it's it appears that it's many, but it's just one. So that's God. He can do like that.
Specifically, Panchatattva is like devotees. How is that happening?
Why? How would they like it to be?
Well, Radha Krishna is male, female. It's kind of okay. You know, we can relate to that.
Yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya, male and female. He's performing that pastime. That's it. Yeah. Sorry. So they don't get the three prabhus. Do they get the internal potency in the jiva?
They just can't figure out, you know, how all that, it's a complete manifestation of God. I mean, I'm talking about devotees.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that you have Lord Chaitanya. Okay, they're saying just he's Krishna. Are they cool with that? Okay. Then you have Garadhar, who is his internal potency, or represents all Shakti. Right, the Sarup Shakti. They're cool with that? Then you have Srivas, who's the Jiva, who's another aspect. Because the Sarup is both the internal and the external.
Srivas is okay.
Okay, Srivas is cool. So, the problem is with Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita.
Advaita, very serious problems, and Gadadhar, big confusion.
What are they confused about? Krishna, Purusha means Shaktiman has Shakti.
Yeah.
So, there's the Shaktiman, and then there's the Shakti.
Yeah.
And if we want to be part of the thing, that's why we have Srivas Thakur. If we're not worried about that, then they'll be there anyway. Right?
Yeah.
So you have Lord Chaitanya. I mean, the easiest way to put it is Lord Chaitanya is the Lord of Icha, Nityananda of Kriya, and Advaita of Jnana. So just as you have Krishna, Balaram, and Vasudev, or Mahanarayan, or, you know, that aspect. So that's what you're dealing. So he has these three aspects. And they're not even worried about that's all Bhagavan, then you have Brahman and Paramatma. Okay.
Maharaj, a few years back, you know, this particular lecture I had heard, wherein it was spoken about Advaita Acharya, that he is a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So then someone asked, you know, that, then what is the percentage of the two, you know?
So what's the percentage?
Yeah, so the speaker said that the research has been going on, but the GBC is yet to come out, you know, it's still pending.
Oh. But the point is this. They're non-different, so how does that work in percentage?
100.
Okay, 100. So then that's the whole point. 100%. Oh, because 100 and 100, you get 200. Yeah. Because they're non-different. It's just different aspects. In Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that the Purusha avatars means in Vaikuntha, the mood is, I am God. And the Purusha avatars, I am the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So it's a different flavor. That's why you have, from Mahanarayan, you're getting those two going, the two directions of expansions. Purusha avatars in the material world, and then the 24 Vishnumurtis in Vaikuntha. Right? And so then if his mood is, I am the creator, I am the maintainer, and I am the destroyer, so the destroyer aspect of himself, that's Sadashiva.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the creator is the Hiranyagarbha. So then where's the difference? It's just what mood he's in. That's all. There's no such thing as proportions. I mean, just ask him and say, okay, in what proportion are you Krishna conscious? What proportion are you in Maya? You give us that and we'll give you the other one. Shamshaya. So doubt. One finds many contradictions in Pancharatra, such as one entity having many qualities and forms. Gyanashwarya Bala Te Jamsi Guna Atmana Evam Te Bhagvanto Vasudeva. The forms of Vasudeva have the qualities of Jnana, Aishwarya, Bala, and Tejas. This is contrary to the Vedas. This is the doubt. Sometimes one sees criticism of the Vedas in Pancharatric scriptures. Chatur Shu Vedeshu Param Shresh Yo Na Labva Sandilya Idam Shastram Adhi Tavan. Sandilya, not attaining the highest goal in the four Vedas, studies the Pancharatra. Right? Yeah, so it's not a fault in the Vedas. It just means that through the Pancharatra, that it's an agama. So therefore, if through that it's revealed, means that's the knowledge of the Veda. Right? So it said, pure devotional service, that is the goal of the Veda.
Agamas, can we say it's a company, the Vedas?
They're expansions from the Vedas. They're derivatives of the Vedas. Uttara. Since there's no difference between the Shakti and the possessor of the Shakti, the first criticism is refuted. Okay, so how can he have these? There's no difference, right? So he can have all these. There's no fault in considering difference between the sarupa of the Lord is variegated. There's no fault in considering difference since sarupa of the Lord is variegated. So that Shakti and Shaktiman, they're all Purusha, so therefore they all have Shakti, and so that they have these, then what's the problem? And because there's variegatedness, therefore, then what's the problem and there's difference? Right? It's all coming from Krishna. It's all Krishna. To the second criticism, we say this is not a criticism of the Vedas. Why? The Vedas are simply difficult to understand, as stated in Bhagavatam 11:21-42. What do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. Right, so this is Krishna. Right. So they shouldn't be in anxiety. You're dealing with Krishna. So of course it's hard to understand. Right? So there shouldn't be an anxiety. There's some problem with it. No, it just means that since it's revealed through devotional service, just Krishna hasn't revealed it yet. So then keep that devotional service, have that sincere mood, and then one day it'll make sense by Krishna's grace. So there's not something wrong if they don't understand, because from the material platform you can't understand spiritual anyway. And so like that, if our background doesn't have any spiritual samskaras in that way, then there's nothing, no reference point. So it's through devotional service, then one gets purified, then one gets that understanding. So they in other words, it shouldn't create distraction from devotional service. It should create that they have to be more focused too. Right? You know, since we are worshipping Panchatattva, they might as well get to know them, so then do devotional service. So, Pancharatra is easy to understand since it clearly states the essential meaning gathered from the Vedas. Smritis and Puranas also have this quality. Yan drishtam hi vedeshu tad drishtam smritishu dvijah. Ubayor yan na drishtam tu tat purane pragiyate. Yo veda chaturo vedan sango panishado dvijaha. Puranam naiva janati na cha sasyad vichakshana. What is not seen in the Vedas is seen in the Smritis. What is not seen in the Smritis is spoken by the Puranas. The clever person who knows the Vedas and Upanishads but does not know the Puranas is not knowledgeable. Skanda Purana, Prabhaskanda, 9:90-93. Right? So If you understand what the Purana is saying, you understand actually what's being meant in all the other Vedic literatures.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so of the Puranas, then the Bhagavata. Mm-hmm. So if you see things, and for us, seeing Bhagavata means through our Acharyas. So if through the commentaries of our Acharya, seeing the previous Acharyas, then we, with that, then view the Shruti and Smriti, then we'll actually understand. But without that, we won't actually understand. Because you have to apply it. The Purana means it shows people applying it. Right? Because otherwise, in the Veda and the Upanishads, you may not catch that.
Yes.
So, yeah?
Maharaj, approaching the previous Acharyas through our founder Acharya. However, devotees find it very challenging because they're not able to channel and see, you know, how exactly whatever Prabhupada is saying, you know, is
then don't so read then it.
They should not.
They should. Means if you see a difference between what Prabhupada says and the previous Acharyas, don't read what the previous Acharyas say. Right? They'll say, "Oh, but there's something wrong there." No, yes, there is. Means you don't have the qualification. Of course, that may not be well digested, but. If you have someone in third grade, right, and you hand them a 10th grade standard math book, will they understand it? No. So then, is there something wrong with the math book? No. So that's the whole point. There is no contradiction between one Vedic literature and another, and between the Acharyas. They're just bringing out different points.
So only in continuation with devotional service, then purity, and then they'll be able to understand.
Yeah. Vedartad adikam manye puranartam varanane. Oh, beautiful faced woman, I consider the meaning of the Puranas greater than the meaning of the Vedas. Naradiya Puran. Shamshaya. But Vedanta finds fault in Pancharatra. Utpat yasambhavat. Shakti is not the cause of the world, because it is impossible that Shakti creates the world. Brahma Sutra 2242. Utra, that is not so. These sutras are explained by Madhvacharya as a criticism of Shakta philosophy, not Pancharatra. Moreover, the ideas of Pancharatra expressed by Vyas, the Supreme Lord, in Puranas also written by him, Paramatma Sandarbha. So there is this natural, what we're being taught is the essence of the Vedas, and you see the Acharyas are giving the quotes for it.
Yes.
We just take, oh, it's an ordinary thing that this more technical stuff is something more advanced. No. We're getting the essence here.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say... Okay. We have some milk. Then from this milk, we have some cream. And then from this cream, or no, let's say from the milk, then we have some yogurt. Then from the yogurt, then we get butter, right? And then from that, we can cook that and get ghee. Right? So if you're given the ghee, then is the dealing with the milk or the butter more advanced? I mean, the milk or the yogurt more advanced? Yeah, so that's not the point. But the point is it's just because that's the ghee of the milk. So that's why the Veda stands in its pristine position. But then that's being explained through the Smritis and then through the Acharyas, and then we get the essence. Does that make sense?
Essence can be appreciated very easily.
Sorry?
Essence can be appreciated very easily.
Yes.
This requires so much of hard work.
Yes. Yes. But the point is that what we're meaning here is that point of prestige is that somebody is studying Bhagavatam, but then they think it's more prestigious to look at the previous Acharyas and all this kind of thing. And so then they'll consider themselves in a higher position, but then this is different from what, you know, it says here, and then Prabhupada says that, and Vishwanath says this, and Jiva Goswami is saying that, so it's so confusing. The whole point is that's why you stick to the essence. It means through the ghee, then you appreciate butter, you appreciate yogurt, you appreciate milk. That's the whole point. And if you can't, then just stick to the ghee or the butter. Right? I mean, you can. I mean, it is a prep they give to kids. You know, you take a bowl, stick a piece of dry bread in there, pour some milk on top of it, and then eat that. Right? But if you take that toast and put butter on it... Then put it in the milk. Okay. Okay. Now we're finding out the...
Yes.
Okay.
Very common.
Yeah. But put the butter. Yeah, because where we grew up, they don't put the butter. You know? So that's stupid, right? Didn't catch the essence. Okay. We're good?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Summary of Adhikarana 8. Vishaya. Shaktas hold that Shakti alone is the cause of the world, and that she possesses the attributes of omnipotence, omniscience, and the rest. Right? Everything attributed to Krishna. Shamshaya. Is it possible that Shakti could be the independent creator or not? Right? So, Purvapaksha. No agent can accomplish anything without the energy of Shakti. The effect, therefore, must not be attributed to the apparent agent. A red-hot iron has the power of burning, but the effect of burning should properly be attributed to the fire, and not to the iron, through which the fire manifests itself. It is the external energy, working through the Lord, that creates the world, and the Lord, without energy, has no creative powers. Thus, Shakti's the real creator. Right? So they get everything backwards.
Yes.
Yeah. Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva refutes this proposition as follows. Sutta 2242. Utpatya sambhavat. Utpati, origination, asambhavat, because of the impossibility. Shakti is not the cause of the world because it is impossible that Shakti creates the world. Right? It can't be the cause because how could it create? Right? You see what happens is that a point's made, they don't argue the point, they argue the actual reality.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you go point for point, then you could argue on just forever. They just go back to the origins. That how can energy create without the energy? Energy doesn't have any meaning without energy. Energetic. So they're saying Shakti or energy. Energy means it's coming from Shaktiman. So just as you're saying these things in the world goes back to there, that means that goes back to Shaktiman.
But they don't accept.
What can you do? But the point is the presentation is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they have a bogus philosophy. It's not that you have necessarily have to have this technical thing on that level that technically deals with your thing point per point. That's what they want.
Yes.
You know, it's just like where the statement, okay, we want a letter by Srila Prabhupada that says that, you know, whatever it is, the different, what was that word? Heretofore, or no one knows. There was some letter where it had been written, and it was saying about Prabhupada had established the different devotees that while he was present, they would take up giving initiation. And then after he departs, then whoever they initiate after that would be their disciples. And so they wanted a letter. It had to be a letter. It couldn't be from the books. It couldn't be from a class. You know, it couldn't be anything else. But it had to be a letter, and it had to have that word in it.
Yes.
And then that's the whole basis. You don't have that, therefore we don't accept your philosophy.
Yes.
It's kind of like, but whoever said that the letters are the main, probably said the books are the main. So if what you're saying from the letter doesn't match the books, then it's a wrong understanding. But they're trying to say, no, it has to be a letter.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
No?
Means what they say doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But that's what the Shaktis are doing. You're saying they don't accept. That's because they establish the terms on which it has to be discussed. Because in their terms, at least they feel that they'll do okay. That's why a lot of times, you see, when they do deal with it, they use their own philosophy. Because if you don't, then they may not catch. So you show their philosophy, how it's bogus there, and if that clears. But otherwise, you know that because of what is the actual standard. Does that make sense? So you compare their philosophy to the standard, and then show how, even in their philosophy, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
in this kind of situation, we just take whoever they are out of their comfort zone,
right,
and deal on a higher level.
Yes, yes.
Means if they function fine.
Fine.
Outside, they can't function.
Yeah, so if you can just take something that they've said that's contradictory and defeat them within that, then that's simple. Otherwise, they just immediately take it up, what's above, into actual philosophy, and then they're beyond, they're out of their own depth.
Because even, we've seen when they defeat it on one point, they just shift points.
Yes, that's the whole. When you deal in the secondary, they'll just keep shifting. There's no end to it.
Yeah.
That's why you always have to go above it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's there, you can say it, because then we understand the point and where it goes. Because, but what we're actually referring to is the primary point.
Right.
They don't catch that. But then after that, you just deal on that primary level. Because that's the whole point. You know, it's like, you know, how do you establish? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Even like we have observed when you read Govinda Bhashya and the Siddhanta, things are going on and then immediately some samshay comes up and then we give the uttar to it. So then that is like working on that same level, point to point, or it's again we are going.
No, it's not that you're not dealing with their points, but you're dealing with their points in comparison to real philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay, Sutra Prakashika. Earlier it was proved in Vedanta Sutra 143, Tad Abhinatvad Artavat, that since Pradhan is dependent on the supreme cause, Brahman, it has a use, Artavat, or is capable of producing effects. Right? Because the dependence on the supreme, therefore Pradhan is able to do things. So that's its usefulness, right? And its ability to do things. Right? But it's dependency on Brahman. It produces effects by the glance of the Lord. Right? Without the glance, nothing's happening. It cannot do this independently, since it is inert. Thus, the Sutrakar refutes the Shaktas, since their philosophy is contrary to the Vedas. Okay, let's see. Siddhanta. The word na, not, is understood, because this philosophy is contrary to the Vedas. The idea that Shakti is the cause arises by using inference only, right? They're not using obvious direct perception. They're just saying, they're inferring. The logic is established by material means only, right? So they're only seeing back as far as you can see within the material view. So they can, material view, you can only see as far back as Pradhan. Because after that, it goes back to the Lord.
Yes.
Thus, Shakti is not the cause of the universe. They're only seeing within that. They may or may not accept it, but it doesn't mean that we don't stick to the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, they say, no, you have to discuss it in here. No, we don't. Who said? They said. You know, well, why do they make the rules? Why? Because Shakti itself cannot create the universe. We do not see that sons are born from women without the mercy of a man. Shakti cannot be accepted as omniscient, since we do not see this in the world. Right? We just don't see it happening. That's how it works. Right? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandana.